On behalf of the student body at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, I am humbled and honored to welcome the Vice President of the United States of America, Joe Biden.
Well, I tell you what, I want to start off by thanking your congressman, Rod. He gave me a passport to get out here. And we're proof, by the way, that a Democrat and Republican can like one another. I want you to know that, okay? And secondly, Mr. Mayor, as I walked in, the mayor gave me a key to the city. Now what I'm looking for is I'm looking for an acceptance letter to graduate school from your president. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank Mitch for the introduction. And the truth is, there's 100 reasons why a vice president, any vice president, should be here on this great campus. First of all, you're a great university. No, really. You're a great university, and you have some incredible programs, and the research done here is significant. So there's 1,000 reasons to be here. But the truth of the matter is, there's nothing that is that I've spent more of my life working on than dealing with this issue, quote, violence against women. It started off talking about domestic violence. I always hated that phrase because it made it sound like some domesticated cat or something, domesticated. It's the most virile, violent, vicious kind of violence that exists. And the aftermath of it is profound. They're finding out now what we thought but couldn't prove before. The Center for Disease Control is showing that women who have been abused and raped end up with long-term health problems relating to their immune systems, relating to hypertension, relating to, you know, it's a little bit like you guys in the military. An awful lot of I've been in and out of Afghanistan and Iraq 26 times. We have a lot of people coming home who have been injured. A lot of people coming home with post-traumatic stress. We understand that when a man, like my son who spent a year in Iraq, and he, thank God, didn't have it, but when a man or woman comes home from a battle zone, why they would have post-traumatic stress. Why don't we understand that a woman, who every day her husband comes home, she's worried, do I have the dinner on the table quick enough? Who gets her head smashed against the wall once or twice a week, who's been beaten, who's been abused by her, quote, significant other, her boyfriend, someone she knew on campus. Why are we surprised? Why are we surprised that this victimization has long-term consequences? You know, along with all the hopes and expectations of every father and mother who watches her daughter head off to college or university, very deep is that fear that, will she be all right? For real. Ask your parents. Will she be okay? It's buried, but it's real. Among the nearly 14 million American women who've been raped in their lifetime, almost 80% of them were first raped before their 25th birthday. Those survivors aren't statistics. They're your sister, your friends, your classmate, a woman or a girl you see every single day. Some of you are here today. I have an inordinate amount of respect for you because every time you participate or speak out about violence, it brings back for you as if it happened that very day, all you went through. That's a human condition, but it matters. It matters. And I'm here to say thank you. Thank you for your courage. I came to this campus for two reasons. One, to say thanks to all of you for stepping up. and second to say, enough is enough is enough. This must stop, and it is able to stop. Folks, there are certain aspirations we have that are beyond our power, but this is within our power. This is not something that is beyond our power. If we act, if we step up, if we all take responsibility, we can fundamentally, fundamentally change the circumstances that women face throughout this country, and I would argue around the world. I know you are as determined as I am and as the president is to change the statistics and hopefully shape a new reality for your generation and the generations that follow, student leaders, athletes. How many here are on any of the athletic teams in this college campus? Raise your hand or holler out. How many of you are here in the band that are involved in this? How many of you belong to Greek organizations? Well, let me tell you something. You can stop this. Some of you have already signed up It's On Us pledge, and others here today, I'm counting on you to sign the pledge as well. Signing the pledge just says three things. One, you promise to intervene instead of being a bystander. Two, you promise to recognize that any time consent is not given or can not be given, it's sexual assault and is punishable as a crime. And thirdly, you promise to do everything you can to create an environment where sexual assault is unacceptable, where survivors are supported, where perpetrators are treated with the moral disapprobation they deserve. That's all within your power. It comes down to a simple proposition. We really have to change the culture on campus as to what's acceptable, the culture in our towns and our cities in America. That's why I wrote the Violence Against Women in the first place. That's why I wrote it early on back in 1988. It took a while to get it passed. And it's amazing the pushback I got when I drafted it. I was told, no, no, no. This domestic or family or acquaintance violence is not violence. It's a private matter. No, serious people, as my wife as a professor would say, Google it, you know? You'll see. I'm serious. It sounds irrational to think anybody would say it today. In addition to that, I was lectured about and criticized for interfering in family business. When I proposed shelters for women who are abused by domestic violence, because 7 out of 10 kids in the street are there because their mother's a victim of domestic violence, they were characterized by the opposition, it was pretty broad, as indoctrination centers. Biden just was engaged in indoctrination centers. But because of the brave survivors who testified, we held over 1,000 hours of hearings. And I was convinced, as I am today, that once you make America look at this dirty little secret and how heinous it is and what it is, they can no longer engage in plausible deniability. They can no longer pretend, because no one really wants to get involved. It's messy. It's confusing. It's complicated. But once you bring the dirty little secret out and open, everything changes. I remember there was a young woman who was a model who came and testified. I spoke to her earlier. She lived in New York City. Her first name was Marla. And she testified, and it riveted the nation, because when this guy kept hitting on her, her landlord, and she wanted to move to a larger apartment. As I said, she was a model in New York City. And one day she got a call, and he said, if you meet me downstairs in the restaurant, a restaurant bar, in this big, I don't know how many story building in New York City, you can sign a contract for a new lease for a bigger apartment. So she showed up, and he hit on her again. And she got up and walked out. He had hired two thugs to follow her outside. And with knives, they cut her face. And I asked her to testify as to what happened. In court, she was asked by a prosecutor, were you wearing a short skirt? How were you dressed? I asked, what did her girlfriend say? She said, they asked me, well, was I wearing a bra? How was I dressed? Why was I in a bar? What did I say? There's this overwhelming sense that somehow a woman who's abused does something to provoke it, is somehow responsible for this. So my overarching objective my whole career has been to end that. Things have changed. Violence is way down. But guess what? The reason we started this new campaign, as I am in charge of this issue inside the White House, the president asked me to do this. So I asked the experts on my staff to go look and see what was happening. I knew all the general statistics. What were the statistics for women between the ages of 14 and 25? And in over 20 years, and all the progress we've made, I was stunned to learn there was no difference in the last 20 years. The same percentage of young girls in high school and women in college were being abused and raped as they were 20 years ago. So they haven't changed enough. And you know why they haven't changed enough? When there's even a question of whether or not the heinous act of incapacitated, nice antiseptic phrase, incapacitated sexual assault, raping someone who's passed out, when there's even a discussion whether that's a crime, it is outrageous. What kind of man does it take to do that? What kind of society, questioning whether or not? It's not only grounds for discipline and expulsion, you should go to jail if you engage in that activity. I learned, as long as I'm in this fight, that to change the culture, you have to speak up. And you have to actually expose to the rest of the nation, who are basically good people. There are good people who, but make them look at it. Make them understand. That's when things change. To speak out when a woman is demeaned, disrespected, or violated. People who engage in this kind of activity should feel the wrath of the moral disapprobation of our society. And by the way, gentlemen, silence is a form of approval. Inaction is a form of cowardice. And speaking up takes courage, but is expected. You all, everyone in this campus knows the difference between right and wrong. There's no situation, no tradition, no cultural norm that can justify degradation or abuse of a woman in any form. In other parts of the world, the practice of genital mutilation, stoning, honor killing are affront to basic human dignity. And there's no way in which they can be called civilized behavior. But that's a pretty low bar. We measure the decency of other nations and whether they condone or condemn this kind of behavior in the name of a cultural norm. But that's a pretty low bar. The standard of decency by which we should measure ourselves is that there is no time, no circumstance beyond self-defense when a man has a right to raise his hand to a woman. Period. That's the standard. And any time consent is not given or cannot be given, it is sexual assault. That's the standard I'm insisting on. That's the standard we should all be insisting on. That's why I'm in this. That's why this should be the American standard. That's the basis on which we should measure our own decency. After hundreds of hours of hearings and passing the Violence Against Women Act, it became clear to everyone who listened, all of my colleagues, that our institutions were failing by that measure. The political system, the legal system, the health system, the court of public opinion were all bystanders to the fact that women were suffering perhaps the most pervasive form of violence in this country. And all too often, those institutions re-victimized the victim in the process. Like happens on some college campuses when you report. There's no doubt that colleges and universities have to step up. They have a legal responsibility and moral obligation to protect their students and hold perpetrators accountable. The Department of Education, under leadership of Arne Duncan, has made it crystal clear that schools that fail this responsibility are in violation of Title IX and risk federal investigation and financial penalties. This isn't abstract. It's about the woman down the hall in your dorm or in your class or on your team. It's about letting her know that it is not her fault. When I held those hearings, a young woman from a small college north of Pittsburgh, she said she showed up in her freshman year. She came and testified. She started a college campus for survivors organization back in the 90s. And she said, we didn't have a football team, but we had a soccer team. There was a big bonfire before the first game, and I went to the bonfire. It was chilly. And my colleague's, my roommate's boyfriend said, I'll walk you home. And he brought me, he said, I have to stop in my room and get a coat. And he pulled her in his room and he raped her. She said she went home, back to her dorm on the fourth floor. And the first thing she did, I remember a graphic, he said, I took a scalding shower. And she said, I went and sat in my bed and I was crying. And the RA, the resident advisor, came in, said, what happened? And I told her. And she looked at me and said, you've been raped. And she said, I responded, no, I wasn't raped. I knew him. I knew him. The culture has come a long way, but it's so much further to go. You know, it's not just about the woman down the hall. It's about that young woman in high school dreaming the next year she may come to the University of Illinois. Dreaming of her freshman year. A dream that could be shattered forever next fall if you don't step up for her today. It's the single largest reason why women drop out of college is because they've been abused in their freshman years. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. It's on you, every one of you. And guys, it's particularly about you. You should be the ultimate agents of change. It's time for all of you to step up, and I'm preaching to the choir here. Step in, show courage. Be the man you were raised to be. Think about it. Think about a culture that exists when we ask all the wrong questions. Why were you there? What were you wearing? What did you say? Why did you say it? What were you drinking? They're all the wrong questions. The right question is, what made him think he had a right to touch me? Why on earth did no one step up when they were standing by and watching? Or for you men, why didn't I have the courage to speak up, to intervene, to act? Until we make a pariah of all those on this campus and every other campus in America who believe they have a right to ever ask, ever say, she asked for it, we're not going to make the progress we have to make. That's how to begin to change the culture, to understand that no means no and no exceptions. No means no even if you start and you decide to stop. No means no, no matter when it is uttered. No means no. And for you guys, ask yourself, what would I have done if that was my sister? Ask yourself, am I doing enough for the women I know? Ask myself, ask yourself, am I doing enough for the women I'll never meet? Am I demanding enough of my school, my classmates, my friends, my brothers, my teammates? And most importantly, ask yourself, can I look in the mirror and see the man that I want to be? Look, it's not going to happen if we leave it to everyone else. It's on you. It's on me. It's on all of us. And I'll be honest, because I've been there. It's going to be hard sometimes. It's not easy. It takes a lot of courage in some circumstances to step in. Matter of fact, some of the experts will tell you Biden's encouraging you to step in is a mistake. Well, if you don't, not able to step in because there's three guys, you all have cell phones. Call somebody. Yell or holler. Do whatever it takes to distract and stop. But you got to step up. You got to step in. You got to speak out. You know, I used all vehicles of social media 3 years ago when I tweeted out to all campuses, what one thing could we do on your campus to help diminish the violence against your classmates? You know what came back? Over 60% of the response of the thousands we got were get men involved. All of you in here are decent men. You don't engage in the activity. But it's not enough not to engage. You got to step in. Raise your right hand if you've already signed the pledge. It's on us. Raise your right hand if you're going to ask your friends who haven't signed up to join up. Well, let me tell you something. This campus is one of the most active in the country. You're in the vanguard of what I believe with your leadership is going to be a fundamental change. So when your daughters are going to University of Illinois or any other university, they will not be a circumstance when you drop them off where you're particularly worried. And it's not about University of Illinois. It's every university, every college, small and large in America. It's within our power to end sexual abuse on every campus and every community. There's really no excuse. God bless you all for having the courage to be here. Thank you, particularly the Greek organizations, and all those women and men who are on the athletic teams of this great university, those of you who are visible, are really engaged in the campus. It matters. It really matters. And again, I'll close by saying to the survivors that are here, you have my admiration. You made it. You beat it. And I know what you're trying to do now is make sure no one goes through what you went through. It's on you. It's on us. It's on me. May God bless you all, and God bless all the survivors of sexual assault everywhere, because they deserve our support. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. Go get it.